Hi, this is Matt Haig, and thank you for listening to Hanshin Tigers English News.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome back to another wonderful episode of H10, Hanshin Tigers English News. This is episode number 39, and guess what? This is the show's one-year anniversary. Happy anniversary, H10. Woohoo! My name's T-Ray. Yes, and Joe chiming in with the happy anniversary call. Good to have you here, Joe.
Good to be here.
All right, so actually, folks, we are recording on a Monday morning Japan time, Sunday evening America time, so we might be a little bit off. We're not used to this. We're kind of more accustomed to the reverse, but let's see how it goes. So anyways, Joe, this is episode 39, and number 39 on the Hanshin Tigers is none other than Shinji Komiyama. Got any stories about Bucktooth Bucky Komiyama?
Yeah, posted on the Game Day News a couple of weeks ago about a game. It was 4 years ago on the 3rd of July, when we were beating the Carp 3-2 atop of the ninth, and we have Enokita on the mound, and there's the counts 2-2 and two outs. Enokita throws the pitch, and the batter swings at it, but Komiyama has the ball bounce off his leg and allows two runners to score, both the tying run and the game-winning run come across the plate. Jeez. In the top of the ninth. So nothing like getting the strikeout to end the game, but not able to hold on to the ball and allowing two runs to score.
Oh, geez. Bad luck for Enokita, I suppose. Worse luck for the starting pitcher, who was Jason Standridge, right?
Yep.
And then besides that... Sorry, go ahead.
I just said they kept panning the camera back to him on the video, and he's just sitting there chewing his gum like he's just dumbfounded.
Oh, well, it didn't get Komiyama much playing time or trust from the team after that. Obviously, I have not heard his name since becoming a fan, really, so... there you have it, special episode number 39. But actually, the better 39 would be current battery and strategy coach Akihiro Yano, who wore number 39 for a number of years. Just a little background on him before we get into today's show. He was drafted by the Chunichi Dragons and came over to the Hanshin Tigers in a trade. He was traded away by Hoshino, who was the manager of the Dragons at the time, and Yano felt really rejected. He came over to the Tigers, and a few years later, he ended up playing again under Hoshino, and he was like, oh no, here we go. What if he doesn't want me again? What if he trades me off again? I'm finally getting settled in here. Turns out, his years under Nomura were the best years of his life. Yano became a great catcher, really knew his pitches super well. You know, all of their likes and dislikes, all of their pitches, all of their, you know, do they like the ball a little bit scuffed up, or do they like it clean? Do they want him to oil his mitt, or does that make the ball too slippery? He knew all that stuff about the pitchers, so just a great catcher, and I hope that one of our young guys can take his place as that solid catcher for years to come. That remains to be seen. Anyways, we are going to jump into today's show. We'll look back at the two games before All-Star break. We might talk a little All-Star break. And then we're going to give our report card for the team, so stick around. Recap. All right. So, Joe, it's almost like so far back in the rearview mirror that it's almost forgotten, but we had two games this past week.
We did.
Yeah, and we went off to... Yakult Land. We were in Nagano for game one, and then we were in Tokyo at Jingu for game two. And let's sum it all up. So on Tuesday, we brought Randy Messenger to the mound, and they brought Hirofumi Yamanaka to the mound. This is a submarine thrower. We have been awful against him in the past, but he's actually had a pretty awful year. And then he faces us. Well, anyways, let's get into the scoring action. So Randy had a good first, but then in the second inning, he allowed a run to score on an RBI single that kind of made its way through the right side of the infield. So it's 1-0 for Yakult, but That was it. Randy slammed the door shut on them. Other than that, they did not get two base runners in any inning after that until the seventh. So Randy was super solid, and they just got the one run.
Mm-hmm. So in the after Randy goes through his seven.
Yeah, he's still the losing pitcher of record at this point.
Right, down 1-0.
Yep.
So we actually get some runners on at the start of the eighth inning, and with a runner on first and second, Hataguchi comes in as a pinch hitter, and on a 3-2 count, actually gets a hit to center field finally on a pinch hit, and actually ties up the game. So that's finally, you know, how many times I remember him coming in to pinch hit and just failing, you know, last couple weeks. So
yeah.
So that's good that we actually tied up the game there, and then Fukudome comes on and gets a hit to left field to load the bases, and then Gomez grounds into second for the second out, but gets a run there, so it's 2-1 with two outs, and then Takayama comes up and hits a hit to right, and then get another run there, so it's 3-1. So a big inning there for the end of a game, which is not the norm for our team. Usually we just have, you know, single, double run innings, but to get three and come back and give, you know, Randy a chance to win the game is a big turnaround for the team.
Absolutely. And Randy ended up being the winning pitcher because the relievers came in and did a stellar job. Mateo and Dolis, man, I don't know who lit a fire under them. Maybe a certain Cody Satterwhite. I'm not really sure, but they have been absolutely amazing since the acquisition of Satterwhite, which was around the middle of June. I think both of them actually have ERAs of 0 since then. So I don't know if that's just coincidence, but we take the win. We get game one. Let's talk a little bit about this one, though, Joe. One of the things I wanted to mention real quick was on that Gomez RBI, the ground out to second that you talked about. Man, that was close to being a base hit. Yamada had to dive really, like, he was into shallow center almost. I mean, he was off the dirt already, and he dove behind second base, gloved it, and then he actually glove tossed it to second base, and it was kind of a wild throw too. It wasn't like he had a decent balance when he threw it, and the second baseman barely managed to get the force out. Otherwise, it would have been a base hit. So definitely some alert fielding there. Otherwise, we could have maybe even scored more runs.
Yeah, I think even earlier on in the game, the second and third innings, we definitely had chances to score. We had runners on first and second in the second inning with one out, and we had started off the third with a fly out, but then we had a double by Nishioka. So we had runners in scoring position on the second and third inning, just like Colt did. They both had runners in scoring position at those two times, but that was it. It was kind of a quiet game after that, and I want to commend Dolis for getting three straight strikeouts to end the game there. So it was a good relief.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was a pretty solid effort by Dolis. Absolutely. So one other thing I was going to say, and I completely lost it. Oh yeah. Our captain, he's Captain Walker, at his finest. He picked up two more walks in this one. He actually got a hit, but, one of the things that I noticed, and we may talk about this in report card time, but I wish he would start to, battle his way on the base with his bat instead of with his eyes. I mean, it is great to have a high on base percentage and all that kind of stuff, but hits give you that much more chance to advance runners even further, to score more runs than a walk. I remember playing ball as a youngster, and they'd always say, like, a walk is as good as a hit. And it's like, well, only if you
can't
hit.
Doesn't get you many RBIs unless you got people on the base in front of you.
Yeah, exactly. So, it is good because you're not getting yourself out, but there's so much potential for more. And I feel like Toritani has not swung his bat nearly enough this year. But we'll talk a little bit more about that as we do report cards later. Let's look at the second game of this series. So, we bring Suguru Iwazaki to the mound, right? And they are bringing Shohei Tateyama, who is renowned for having had like a million elbow surgeries and stuff, but he is making yet another comeback. So a very fragile guy and not having a good year, not having a good comeback year for sure by any means. And, let's go through the scoring.
All right, so in the second inning, after a walk by Takayama, Hojo comes up and hits a double to get Takayama around to score. So we start off in the second inning with a run, which is a pretty early run for us.
Yeah.
And then we followed up with some more hits and can't actually get anybody around. So we should have had more there, actually. We had three hits in that inning. But
absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Come away with at least the lead to start off, which is good, especially with Iwazaki on the mound. He needs some confidence behind him, you know, yeah, to show him that there's going to be some run support.
Yeah, because he hasn't gotten a lot this year, that's for sure. All right, so that's a 1-0 lead, which could have been more, yep, but we actually extend the lead then later in the fourth, right?
The fifth, I believe, right?
Fifth, sorry, yeah, yeah.
Yep, so in the fifth inning, Fukudome, on a 3-2 count, gets a leadoff home run to right field and sets it up to 2-0 in the top of the fifth. Again, followed up by two more hits and nothing showing for that. So, 2-0 lead after a number of hits at this point in the game. I guess 10 hits and we only have 2 runs. So, going in the bottom of the fifth.
Yeah, so actually they come back with a home run of their own. It's also a leadoff home run, and it's not to anybody named Yamada or Ballantyne. So a little bit unexpected, but somebody named Nishida, who, sorry, Swallows fans, I've never heard of him, but he walloped one over the left field wall, so it is now 2-1. And Iwazaki actually struggled in the sixth, could not make his way out. So Mateo came in and bailed him out of the sixth after Iwazaki, I think, led off with a couple of base runners. It was a walk and a hit. Anyways, in the seventh inning, Ando came in and he gave up the game tying run. He didn't give up the game tying run. He was charged with it, but actually Takahashi came in relief. It was supposed to be the lefty versus lefty matchup that was supposed to bail us out of the inning. Instead, Takahashi gave up a hit to left field to Sakaguchi, who's a new guy on the Swallows, but he's having a great year. So it's 2-2 now after 7 innings. And as the game wears on, it's looking like all those hits that we got earlier that we didn't cash in on were going to come back and haunt us, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we only, between the fifth inning and the 11th inning, we only had one hit in that entire span. So it was kind of a dry spell for us. But luckily for them, it was pretty much the same after their seventh inning. Not much doing, yeah, a single sparse hit here or there. So here we go into extra innings again. And we actually have a decent chance in the top of the 11th. And we have two outs, runners on second and third, and a 2-2 count to Fukudome, and comes up and gets a double to center field to get 2 runs in. So we have a 4-2 lead in the top of the 11th.
Yeah.
And then we actually have some, you know, additional chances at scoring some runs, but we don't get anything. But interesting to note that Dolis came in and actually went up to bat in the 11th, so he could stay in and pitch a second inning.
Yeah. So here's the situation. Just to quickly wrap things up, we did end up winning this one 4-2, and Dolis was credited with the win because he pitched the 10th and 11th innings. But the situation was, after Dolis, we had 2 pitchers left in the bullpen that we could have used to potentially close the game, neither of whom had a lot of experience or that we could necessarily trust. One of them was Ryoma Matsuda, who had just been called up from the farm, and I think the other one was Enokita, who has not earned anybody's trust at all of late. So I think it was kind of a no-brainer.
This season,
despite...
maybe?
Yeah. Well, he started off fairly well for the first, like, week or I don't know. Anyway, somehow he's managed to stay on the top squad. But so Dolis pitched 25. He threw 25 pitches in the 10th. So I thought that his evening was definitely over because that's quite a bit of work for a reliever. And asking him to pitch another inning usually requires, you know, best case scenario, 10 pitches. So that would be 35. But I guess heading into All-Star break, they said, hey, we got nothing to lose. You know, this is our last game. Let's ride him. And so actually he got out of the 11th on 5 pitches.
Right.
He actually allowed a hit. Then he induced a double play and then he induced a grounder and it was over. But so Dolis actually used to be a shortstop back in the day, way before he was a pitcher. But we're talking like over 10 years ago. And, you know, he really loved batting, except I think he told me that just one day, I don't know if he got beamed or something like that, but he just started to get a little bit scared in the batter's box and didn't like hitting anymore. And he told his coach, he's like, I want to be a pitcher. And he was already kind of with the Cubs organization at this point. Like, they had already kind of drafted him, and they were like, so let me get this straight. Like, we drafted you as a shortstop, and now you want to convert to pitcher. Yeah, you better run that past us before it happens. But turns out, I guess, like, he threw gas. I mean, they gave him some bullpens, and he was just ripping the ball. And so they allowed him to convert. But I think this was definitely his first at bat with the Tigers.
Yeah, he got contact. He made it. He got a third base grounder, but he made contact.
You know what? I'd love to. I might even try and text him or call him or whatever, but just kind of ask him, like, hey, how did that feel? How did he enjoy being up at the plate? Anyways, 4-2 win. And so one more note in this game, or you might have some as well, but the ninth inning was one that I thought brought out the wacky in Tomoaki. The situation was that we had a runner on second base with two outs, and Fukudoma came up to the plate. So the brilliant guys over at Yakult said, well, our bullpen stinks, and Fukudome has been killing us all day, all series. How about if we walk him intentionally and face Gomez instead? So that's a little bit of a slap in the face to Gomez, in my opinion, right? From the other team, saying we'd rather face, you know, your big import who's been struggling a bit lately than your aging Japanese veteran who's been hitting well lately. So I say this is a perfect chance for Gomez to, you know, show everybody what he's got. Say, okay, well, you want to treat me like this, I'll show you. But then Kanemoto says, no, we're going to pinch hit Gomez. And he brought in Haraguchi as pinch hitter. So it was almost like a double slap in the face for Gomez. And I felt quite bad for him. I don't know what was going through his mind at the time, but it's not like he had been, you know, hitless on the day. He actually had a really solid hit in the fifth inning. But Haraguchi struck out, and so the gamble definitely did not pay off, and I wonder if it's going to have any, you know, further damage on the Kanemoto-Gomez relationship. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I can definitely see where Gomez is going to be upset. You know, Haraguchi probably had how many failed attempts at a pinch hit before he actually got one the day before, so maybe there was a little bit of that in his head that, hey, look, you know, Gomez is, you know... I don't know. It's tough with two outs. I mean, it's not like he's got a, you're not worried about him legging out something, but you know, you just need to get some, you know, ball in play, especially with runners on to get the lead. You know, I think it's probably not the right call, but you know, I think Gomez should really be, upset about that, but
yeah,
what are you going to do?
Yeah, I understand the desire to, you know, roll the dice or whatever, or, you know, maybe Kanemoto was thinking, like, if this happens, you know, if Haraguchi gets the hit, then I look like a genius. But at the same time, like, you know, you got your big slugger that has already been pulled from action once this year. You know, it was just a month ago. And now you're doing it to him again in a very crucial situation. Last time, at least, it wasn't a crucial situation. It was just, look, buddy, you've been striking out like crazy, and maybe you need to clear your head. This was like... You know, you've got a hit today already.
A chance to win the game.
Yeah. The game's on the line, and you've been our number 3, 4, or 5 hitter all year. we're going to pull the rug out from under you, you know. So that's definitely a blow to the ego. But hopefully, you know, Gomez takes it like a pro, and, you know, this 5 days off has helped him to just kind of refocus and say, you know, I'll put that in the past and let bygones be bygones, whatever, and continue to play hard for... Wacky Tomoaki. So one more thing of note in this game, this is really crucial in the sixth inning, Joe. When Iwazaki was pulled and Mateo came in, and the first batter he faced was Ballantyne. And last time they faced each other, Mateo plunked him and Ballantyne got real mad. I don't know if you remember that. It was kind of a poorly timed outburst by Ballantyne, but anyways, this one, Ballantyne hit a screamer to right center, and it looked like it was going to fall right between the two fielders for a two-run RBI double, which would have given Yakult the lead. But Egoshi, man, he put on a display, like a Yamato-esque display in center.
I did see that on the replay. It was a heck of a catch.
Beautiful, yeah. So that's going to earn him trust. It's going to probably earn him some more playing time as well. And so it was funny. Somebody was saying to me, no one could have made that catch except for him or Yamato. And I was like, well, Nakatani actually made some pretty awesome catches earlier in the year. So he could have done it too. You never know. And so, But still, it was a great play. I mean, it's always good to see our fielders making outstanding plays because they certainly have made their share of simple errors. So yeah, nice to see. Anyways, Joe, we went 2-0, and who said 2-0 at the start of the week?
Ooh, I wonder who would say 2-0. Maybe a little optimism here.
Yeah, good job, Joe. I blew that one, and you were right on the money. Two wins against Yakult, much needed. The Tigers make their way out of last place, a half game up on Yakult. Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. Well, it's a small moral victory, but it's nice to go into the All-Star break not in last. That's all.
Yeah, well, I mean, the good thing is if you look at the standings, I mean, there's what, let me pull it up here, three games between, you know, where we're at. We're only out 3.5 games out of second place. So yeah, we're really not that far behind the Giants. The Carp are, you know, miles ahead, but,
yeah,
you know, I think that's there's still a chance for us to at least make the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, it really just takes a hot streak. And I was reading back on my my website from the early days, and in 2014, right around, I think it was just before All-Star break, but we pulled off an 8-game win streak. And it's not out of the realm of possibility for this team to get hot. I mean, I know there's a lot of youth, there's a lot of inexperience, and there have been a lot of blunders. But, you know, if these guys just get in the zone, it's very possible. And the thing about being in such a small league of six teams is that when you go on an 8-game win streak, you're really going to move up in the standings big time. You're going to put some distance between yourself and the teams below you. You're going to put pressure on the teams above you. So, yeah, it's by no means is this over. We've still got a full 56 games left on tap. So, later on the show, we're actually going to predict what we think is going to happen in the final 56. But right now, let's choose, short as the week was, our player of the week.
Every week, one Tiger stands above the rest. He elevates his game to another level. He is the player of the week.
So, what do you say, Joe? It was two games, and so it's really easy to pick a starting pitcher or even a reliever who might have done a good job during the series. But who have you got for us?
True, but I'm going to have to go with the bat of the week here with Mr. Fukudome, batting 556 for the week.
Wow, that's a 5-for-9, right?
Yeah, 5-for-9 with a home run and two walks as well. So definitely got him on base, and three RBIs, which led team no one else had more than one, so definitely going to give it to Fukudome, but I'm going to put a pat on the back to Takayama as well, who was 5-for-8 and had a walk, so good to see his bat kind of turn around a little bit, so definitely good there on that.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with the Fukudome call. You know, he hit the lone home run of the week for us as well. So that was good. It's nice to see him snap out of that slump because it was 35 games between home runs for him. But it was a no doubter, and he just looked like he was in the zone. And I look forward to a solid rest of July, August, September from him. I feel like, you know, maybe he has paced himself well this year, and I think he's still got a lot in the tank. So I think he can have a good second half.
Absolutely.
But yeah, like his three RBI on Wednesday, pardon me. You know, that was the game right there. And then, yeah, like you said, nobody else had more than one RBI. I think we had six runs during that short week. So six or seven. Seven, right?
Seven, yep. Three to one
and then 4-2. Yeah, okay. But, you know, three out of the seven is pretty amazing. And, yeah, good week for Fukudome. I would also give Dolis and Mateo that combination. They have been solid since interleague break. They both did awesome jobs bailing out the team and holding on to leads at the end of games. So good on them as well. And also Messenger had a solid start. I mean, it was a really good week. It's really hard to find somebody that, you know, really stank it up really bad. Maybe Takahashi, but anyways. So Fukudome, you get the double shot right there. The double endorsement. Good on you. So, we have just had 1, 2, 3, 4 straight days off from hunting tigers, other than the All-Star game. Did you catch any of the All-Star games or follow it at all, Joe?
No, I caught the, I watched the Home Run Derby, the replay of that. So, but,
Ohtani. Yeah.
Ohtani tearing it up. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So.
Pretty crazy.
When's the last time you saw a pitcher win a Home Run Derby? So.
Yeah, really. I mean, like, if MLB was not interested enough in him yet, you know, what a great time for him to showcase his abilities. Not only did he win the Home Run Derby on day one, by the way, they had like a Home Run Derby on both days. And it was just kind of a four guys, you know, it was like semifinals and finals.
They're mini, Home Run Derbies.
Yeah. So he won on day one, and then Ernesto Mejia from the Lions won it on day two. But then also Shohei Ohtani won the MVP of game two of the All-Star break. So pretty amazing stuff. I think he went 2 for 3 with a home run and 2 or 3 RBIs in that second game. So
yeah, they didn't let him pitch because he was hurt, right? Or he had a bruise or something.
Yeah, blisters. Yeah.
Blisters. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's right. But as for our guys, Fujinami pitched 2 clean innings on game one. Iwasada did the same in game two. Haraguchi, I think, had a pinch hit double, RBI double, and then he scored the go-ahead run, which ended up, the PL ended up catching up, but it was the go-ahead run. So Haraguchi got an RBI and a run, and Takayama got an infield hit and a stolen base. And so all four of our guys actually, produced during the All-Star games, which was pretty fun to see. It's good. You know, I just think it's great for our young guys, especially. I mean, I hate to say who cares about Fujinami, but it was his 4th All-Star game, but the other guys, it was their debuts. So it's good for them to have good memories. And it's also good for them to have that confidence that, you know, we can hit against the better pitchers, or, you know, I can shut down the better hitters in the other league for Iwasada, especially after the disastrous interleague that he had. So,
yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. You said it's Fujinami's 4th All-Star game.
Yeah, 4th in 4 years.
Man, time is flying. I remember when we just drafted him and he started, so time has been flying.
It's almost like our son, and he's grown up so fast, right?
Holy cow.
As Tigers fans, that's kind of the perspective that we take in a way. Because, yeah, he was just a little kid when we picked him up, and he's 22.
22 now, yeah.
He would still be a senior in university if he were not drafted in high school. And
it's crazy.
So when we think about that, I think sometimes we need to curb our expectations a little bit, or, you know, give him a break, because he's still 4 years ahead, and he's got 50 more wins roughly, or no, pardon me, 40 more wins roughly than anybody else that's going to be drafted this year. So
it's true.
He's off to a good start. All right, well, I would love to talk more about Fujinami and the rest of the team, actually. So let's dig into report card time. I want to look at the different kind of areas of baseball of the team, and I want to kind of give like a grade or a score to the team in those areas. So I want to look at starting pitching, relief pitching, hitting, fielding, and managing or coaching, and those are kind of the 5 big categories. And just to give them a grade, and then we can kind of discuss why we think they deserve this grade, or who's been shining and who has been not shining at this point. What do you think, Joe?
Sounds good.
Okay, so let's actually go straight into starting pitching, since we were on the topic of Fujinami a little bit there. Let's go straight up with the grade right off the top, if you don't mind. I actually looked at this, and I said the starting pitching has been pretty solid most of the way, and I'm giving them a B-.
That's the exact score I had written down, too.
No way. No way. We did not discuss this ahead of time, folks. This is...
Yeah, I definitely think if we would have had a solid 5th or 6th person in the rotation, that could be different. You know, could be higher. But you know, and everybody's had their ups and downs. Everybody's had their good games and bad. So, I think that's a fair standpoint. And it's probably one of our better portions of our game right now, to be honest.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So just to break things down, through 87 games, we've had four guys that have been in the rotation from start to, well, finish, or at least start to present. And those would be Messenger, Iwasada, Fujinami, and Nomi. Three out of those four started 15 games, and Messenger got 17 starts. And then we had Iwazaki, who came off of injury, and he's been a regular part of the rotation since he's come back. He's had 8 starts. And then after that, the rest of the starts just kind of go like a few here, a few there. We had Kyuji start the season in the rotation. He fell. We had Iwata starting in the rotation. He fell. We've had Aoyagi come up lately. He's had 4 starts. And then we had Yokoyama, who did a little bit kind of in the middle. He had 3 starts, but then he went down with injury. And then Koki Moriya had 1 start, and that did not go well for him at all. That was on June the 9th. That was his last appearance. It was in May then. So, I would say, Fujinami has been probably, for me, one of the bigger disappointments. Not the biggest, but one of the bigger disappointments, simply because, we definitely expect a lot out of him, and he has done so well in the past, and he's had aspirations to become, not only the top pitcher in the Tigers, but one of the top pitchers in Japanese baseball. And he certainly has been far from that mark this year.
Yeah. Like we were just saying earlier, it's his fourth game or fourth season. Maybe he's settling in. Maybe he's, a little too confident. Maybe he's adjusting his game a little bit. Or maybe they're learning his game better. As being such a young pitcher and doing so well off the bat, I think we'll give him a little bit of slack on, not having maybe his best season yet. He's done well, but, pushing him as far as we did, we'll see how it goes for the second half.
Yeah, that's right. He's shown flashes of greatness. I mean, he had like that one hitter against the Eagles and,
the Eagles though.
Yeah, it was the Eagles though, but, the Eagles also beat us up the day before. I think they beat us 9-1 the day before. So, it was nice to see him get that shutout. But also, he kind of was doing all right for a while there too. He did okay against the Hawks, and then he started to look like he was doing all right, and his pitch counts were fairly low, and then all of a sudden, kaboom, his last start before the All-Star break, he went 161 pitches, and, Kanemoto admitted that it was kind of punishment, in a sense, or discipline or whatever, which, we already talked about that last week, so we won't go into details there, but I really think that Fujinami has got a lot left in the tank still. Again, I don't think he's been overworked outside of that one start. And I think he's definitely shown signs of greatness in some of his games. And so I think if he can put it together, he can have a really good second half. He can go on a real roll. And in fact, the headlines today show that Kanemoto is demanding that he win all of his starts until the end of the year, which is the most ridiculous demand ever.
Zero then he can do it.
If he becomes part of the batting order and he, knocks in runs and helps his own, starts, then yeah, maybe. But the way our bats are, there's no way he's going to win every start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll take a quality start every time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That should be his goal. So.
Yeah. Speaking of quality starts, Randy Messenger has been nothing but quality, I think, all year, other than playing against the Carp. He had 2 starts against the Carp, and I think his ERA against the Carp is like 15. And then his overall ERA on the year is 2.87, which means that he's probably around 2 for the rest of the rest of the season. The interesting thing about Randy is in the last 2 seasons in Interleague, he's made 6 starts and allowed just 2 earned runs in 6 starts against the quote-unquote strong PL.
Yeah.
And he's totally got their number. This year, his ERA against them was 0.87. Last year, it was 0. So, yeah, he is the man. And the thing that I'm excited about for Randy is that he typically has a stronger summer than he does spring. So, hopefully, I would love to see him at least maintain his numbers now, like that he doesn't go up from his 2.87. If he does, I'll be totally happy with that.
Well, and then his, you know, he's actually has a winning record, which is strange for him in the last number of years.
Exactly.
He's actually, you know, actually has some decent support, even though he's been, you know, the rock pitcher for us for a while, the last couple of years. He's got a winning record at this point, which I think he should be pretty proud of, you know, so.
No other starting pitcher outside of like Aoyagi and Yokoyama has a winning record. So
yeah,
that's telling you something. Everybody else is on the losing end of things.
Yeah.
Iwasada, man, he had a good 2 months.
Yeah.
His April, May were outstanding, but man, did he ever hit the wall.
Yeah, it's been tough to see him, you know, trotted out there and get lambasted, you know. I don't know what turned off there or what people realized about his game that just flipped a switch.
Yeah, because ERA of 0.79 in March, April, or I guess it was April.
He's leading the league at some point.
Yeah, a 1 ERA in May, and then he concluded May with a complete game shutout against the Giants at Tokyo Dome. Remember that? And that was his last good start, because June his ERA was 7, and then so far in July his ERA is almost 25. So, yeah, 4 1/3 innings, 12 earned runs. Just, you know, he has been absolutely mauled. So definitely hope that he can get back to his, I don't think he'll get back to his, April, May form, but certainly somewhere in between would be nice if he can,
absolutely,
if he can, you know, keep his ERA under 4 the rest of the way. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Nomi, I think has just been Nomi. I don't know if there's anything much to say about him. I mean, he has his really good games and then he has his occasional off games, but, you know, his ERA has hovered between 3.5 and 4, I think, for the last like 3 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not much to say there. He's, you know, yeah, we know what to expect from him.
Yeah, at least there's a chance. It's not like it's a hole in the lineup. You know, he's definitely gives you a chance to win.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Iwazaki, I've been pretty pleased with, although he's still showing a little bit of what he showed last year, which is, you know, once I reach the 6th, 7th inning, I run out of gas or whatever. So he hasn't been as disastrous in those mid innings as he was last year, but he still doesn't quite have it. He doesn't quite have the stamina, or I don't know if he doesn't have the arsenal or what, but yeah, I hope that he can do a little bit of more work on that and somehow be able to get a little bit deeper into games. But we haven't talked about the biggest disappointments in the starting rotation, and these are guys that we haven't seen starting in ages. Kyuji Fujikawa, and then also Minoru Iwata. Iwata was definitely one of the anchors of our starting rotation for years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was just awful in his first 4 starts, and he got sent down to the farm, and we have not seen him since. And in fact, he hasn't even been getting a lot of starts on the farm. So I don't know if we can expect him to come back, but it would be nice. I mean, he could be that 6th starter that we need.
Mm-hmm.
If he can find what he had up until this year.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you know, we're going to start getting back into the swing, and we're going to need that 5th and 6th pitcher in the rotation. So,
yeah,
you know, I think Ishizaki's got a spot for now, but
Iwazaki, where
do we come up? Yeah, Iwazaki, sorry. And where do we go from there? You know, that last one will be the tough one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, Aoyagi has shown signs of brilliance, but I don't know. I mean, he's got terrible control and he's young, and I don't know what his stamina is like. So I don't know if we can count on him being that guy for the rest of the season for sure.
Yeah.
So that's it for the starting pitchers. Let's move into the relievers. And what's your grade for the relievers, Joe?
A D minus.
Oh, we're pretty close. I got a D for that. I was a little bit more generous. So, the relievers have definitely been our downfall in a lot of games. So it's easy to see where they get such a low grade. But let's look at the back end of the relief squad first. We'll start with our current closer, Rafael Dolis. Any comments on him?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe my D minus is a little harsh. I would say in the last 3 weeks, maybe we've seen some positives in the bullpen there, especially towards the end of the bullpen. So, you know, Mateo and Dolis, like you said earlier, from their time that they've been called back up, they've been pretty rock solid. So,
yeah.
So yeah, I definitely think that they're kind of the highlight of where we're at right now. So definitely props to them on turning it around and being able to weather the time on the farm and come back up and show what they have. So,
mm-hmm. But do you know who else is impressed of late?
QG.
QG, yes, yes. As a matter of fact, he has. So far in July, I mean, he's only gone 5 innings, but those 5 innings are clean. ERA of 0, 11 strikeouts in 5 innings, just 2 hits against and just 2 walks against, and one hit batsman. But so his whip is 1,
yeah.
And his ERA is 0, and he's got over 2 strikeouts per inning. So, and even in June, his ERA was 4, which is not stellar, but I think the latter half of June, he actually was really good.
Yeah.
So I think ever since that that Laird home run, I think he's actually been pretty solid.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was definitely one of the guys that I was thinking, like, especially up until that Laird home run, farm him now. but, you know, if he can continue to pitch the way that he has, you know, he's a good part of the bullpen now. Ando has kind of started to level off. I mean, he started off looking, you know, like Mr. Unbeatable, but he's
right.
been a little bit more mortal lately. But he's still yeah. definitely an important part of the bullpen there.
Absolutely.
And then who else we got? We got, Enokita and Takahashi, our two lefties.
Enokita just seems to be the one that always gets lumped out there when all the stuff hits the fan, so.
Yeah, he's had a lot of
garbage cleanup, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of garbage time. And Takahashi and him, actually, if you look at their purely just their numbers, their ERAs are not that far apart.
Mm-hmm.
Takahashi's 4.05, Enokita is 4.42, so not a huge gap. As far as that goes. And
right.
then even in their strikeout ratio, yeah, Takahashi's a little bit better than Enokita, but not by a lot. But still,
yeah.
you know, if you got to choose one, I suppose at this point, Takahashi's a little
yeah.
bit more reliable.
I mean, I think they're trotting Takahashi out in important moments in the 6th, 7th innings. So, you know,
yeah.
he's definitely got the confidence of Kanemoto at this point. So, mm-hmm. you know, he's tried to, you know, I think he's had ups and downs. You know, he's maybe not the, you know, the best at what he's doing, but he's working,
no.
you know, he's trying, and where else do we go? You know, is the kind of the question we have. So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
he's filling the role.
Well, I think they see something in him, and that, you know, that they allow him to play through his tough times because he definitely has good stuff. And, you know, we haven't been using him for full innings every time that we put him in. I mean, he's got 36 appearances and just 26 and two-thirds innings. So, you know, if they use him just in those key situations, I think they're willing to roll the dice with him more than with Enokita or somebody else, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. My question for the bullpen, you know, and we could talk about all these guys that kind of floundered and stuff, and there's tons of them that we could go through, but, you know, why bother?
Yeah.
But the two guys that I'm concerned about are Fukuhara and Sayuchi. Fukuhara, obviously, who is, you know, he is the veteran on the team. I think he's the oldest guy.
Is he the captain, too?
Yeah, he's the captain of the pitching squad. Yeah, outside of Tsuruoka, the catcher, I think he is the oldest player on the team. But he's just been so important to the team in the past several years in that bullpen. But he has been down on the farm since the middle of April, really. His last appearance on the big squad was April 17th. And
wow.
he's not doing great on the farm either. So what happened? Like, did age just get the better of him or what? and then Sayuchi was kind of the young guy that after last year, he showed a lot of promise, especially at the end of the year. You know, he was doing a lot of mop-up duty, a lot of garbage time, but he was coming through. And so I think the team expected that he would be, you know, a solid part of the bullpen this year. And he got farmed on the 27th of April. And that was following a disaster of a game against the Giants. But he has not been called up since either, and that's kind of a surprise to me. And I don't know if he's battling injury or what the story is, but if we can get him back and if he can beat, you know, the 2015 version of himself or even slightly better, which
mm-hmm.
you expect from a young guy, you know, we could actually shore up this bullpen and we could actually have like a B-minus bullpen by the year's end. I really don't think we'll ever be the better bullpen in the CL, but we could definitely
no.
be average or above average, you know, if all our
yeah,
pieces come together.
Yeah, I definitely say that there was a short time there where we had an F for the bullpen, and you know the last month maybe we've brought it back up to a C rating, but
mm-hmm.
you know hopefully the trend continues and we can just have a solid bullpen for the rest of the season.
It's definitely going to help us because, as we know, the hitting is not super solid. We're not going to win a lot of games with our bats alone. And so when games are tight, you know, that was kind of one of our keys to success last year, was that we were able to do really well in those tight games. You know, I think we had the good kind of winning pattern, so to speak, right, where we had like Ando, Fukuhara, and Oh last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most of that is gone. But if we can find something, you know, resembling that this year, then we definitely stand a chance in a lot of these tight games.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to the hitting side of things. Speaking of not having, you know, super awesome bats and stuff like that. And so what kind of rating do you give to our hitters, Joe?
I have them at a D+.
You know, I look at my grade that I gave. I actually wrote this up about a week ago. And I look at my grade and I go, how was I so kind? And yet I'm not that far off from you. I actually gave him a C-.
Yeah. I mean, my thing is we're in last place in the league in batting average. So
yeah,
I can't give you a C, which is supposed to be average, you know, right, per se on the grades, to be the last place. So yeah, that's where I gave him. And our home run count is atrocious compared to the rest of the league. So
yeah.
We could almost be worse than a D+ in reality. It just hasn't been there this year. So,
yeah, which is, you know, which is why I wonder then, you know, how did I come up with this number or this letter? Yeah, absolutely. So actually, maybe I was looking at the potential or looking at what I hope is going to become of the batting order as the year goes on and in the future when I give them C-, but, or maybe it was like considering who was in the lineup most of the year.
Considering who was in the lineup or how many times the lineup changed.
Yes. Yes. And we'll get to that a little bit more in our coaching evaluation. But, so I actually split this up into the different parts of the lineup as opposed to players themselves, but we can do it either way. So looking at kind of the leadoff position and, you know, where we've seen guys, where we've seen guys hitting and stuff like that. Especially of late, you know, Toritani has found himself in the two slot. And in the leadoff, we've had a combination of Nishioka, Uemoto, and Takayama a couple of times of late. And then in the third spot, we've had a lot of Egoshi lately, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we look back into June, it was Gomez in there as well. It was Nishioka a little bit. So I want to look primarily, though, at Toritani, Nishioka, Takayama. And, yeah, we'll look at those guys. What kind of evaluation do you have for the leadoff guys?
Yeah, no, I mean, the start of the lineup has been average, you know, of recent, I would say. Uh-huh. You know, Toritani is able to get on base, which helps. But, you know, there's just no consistency. There's no drive, you know, no consistent numbers out of that portion of the lineup. So it's tough to, you know, get our cleanup section to come through and actually, you know, have any meaningful hits.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. So Toritani, his batting average, as we all know, is, you know, one of the worst of his career. It's a .235, but he's compensated, so to speak, by having an on-base percentage of .353,
mm-hmm.
Which means that he is just getting, you know, just a boatload of walks. He's got 74 hits on the season, and when you compare that to the number of walks that he's got, I think he is somewhere in the, he's got 61. Yeah. So, I mean, he's gotten on base plenty, but he's definitely doing it with his eyes more than he's doing, or almost as much as he's doing it with his bat.
Right.
And again, like I said earlier, my issue with that is you're moving guys along one base, if that, when you walk, and you're getting yourself on base and you're not getting yourself out, you know, oh, that's all fine and good, but I don't really think that's enough. I really don't. And when you look at what Kanemoto said to Toritani at the start, in the off season, he said, if you don't change, this team is not going to change at all. You know, you've got to become the leader and you've got to increase your numbers. You know, you've got to have better output than you have lately, because last year your numbers were terrible and he's on pace for worse numbers this year than he was last year. That's batting average. That's on-base percentage. I think he's definitely on pace for more home runs since he only had 6 last year, and I think he's got 6 already this year.
Right.
And I think he's got his stolen bases this year. How many has he got? Is it 8?
I have
no,
10,
he's got 10.
I think.
He's got 10. Okay, so he's already exceeded last year's numbers for stolen bases, which is all fine and good. But I don't see him, leading the team to victory or, doing his job as a leadoff guy, even if he thinks his job is just getting on base. I think that you and I both know that this team has been relying too heavily on getting rallies going as opposed to, finding that one hit to change the momentum of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So him just getting on base is definitely not enough,
right.
I would say. Yeah. I would say on the whole, the leadoff position has been pretty bad when it comes to stealing bases. Nishioka has gotten a few more lately, but I think that a lot of his stolen bases have not really been in clutch situations. I feel like we're not setting the table early enough in that way. When we did away with the bunt this year, early in the games, I was expecting to see a lot more hit and runs. I was expecting to see a lot more use of the legs. And I feel like after the first 3 weeks or so of the season, we kind of stopped doing that.
Yeah.
And I think that really comes down to the top of the lineup being able to do that. And Toritani, like I said, he's got 10 stolen bases, which is all right. But I really think as a whole, they just need to be doing a lot more running.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the Carp have 77 stolen bases so far this year, and we have 44, and we're in third place on that. So, mm-hmm. There's definitely a reason that stealing bases can get you some extra runs. And, obviously the Carp are, running away with this thing. But so not saying there's 100% correlation between stolen bases and wins, but they help.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing about the Carp is, and we've seen this so much, we've been the victim of this so much, man, they take the extra base when they can. It's not just stealing bases, mm-hmm. but like if they see a fielder getting a little bit complacent, they'll take the extra base.
Yeah. And how many have we had hits where we had runner on second? They don't make it all the way around,
Yeah. Yeah, so. Absolutely. So I just feel like our base running has been pretty poor, and the guys at the top of the order have been leading that lacklusterness.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's look at the cleanup. And when I talk about cleanup batters, I'm talking like Kosuke Fukudome, Mauro Gomez, Fumihito Haraguchi, Taiga Egoshi, and so on.
Mm. Yeah, I definitely say that this has probably been the better spot of our batting. Maybe not to the point that they should be, but I think that Fukudome's had a good year batting, and then Gomez yeah. has been, the RBI leader of the team. So, he's got 56, which is almost double what anybody else has. So mm-hmm. He's been able to come through in a situation. His batting average isn't the highest, but, but he's still doing his job. So, I think the cleanup is kind of the shining spot. Haraguchi coming in and having a, good batting couple months there. Kind of slow since, but, mm-hmm. I think this has been the one spot that we can actually, has done well for us.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I really think that they have pulled their weight in a sense. The only knock that I would have on them is where have the home runs gone?
Yeah.
Because,
mm-hmm.
As we mentioned, Fukudome hit his first in 35 games. Gomez, when he broke his slump, that was his first in 31 games.
Right.
Haraguchi has 6 on the year, and he's got limited playing time. Obviously, he started late, but mm-hmm. he has only, I think, 1 in the past maybe 6 weeks. And
yeah.
then Egoshi, he has not hit any since April, so that has been definitely a sore spot for us. All right, let's look now at the bottom third of the order, and some of the guys also that we haven't talked about that have gotten regular playing time. So even though Hojo hasn't really hit in that bottom third a whole lot, we'll put Hojo in there. We'll put Hayata Ito, who's come in lately, Itayama, who was there for a while, and then the catchers, Umeno Okazaki. How do you feel about how they've done so far?
I don't know. They really haven't done a whole lot for us. There's not been...
Yeah.
much consecutive hitting across the lineup, especially in this bottom third. So, I don't see any major standouts in that grouping.
Uh-huh. I would say Hojo has actually had decent consistency as far as keeping his average up. His power game, after that one home run has been pretty non-existent. He'll get the occasional double, but it's mostly just a hit into opposite field mm-hmm. singles. And that's all fine and good, but it's not exactly what we hope for out of him. Granted, you know, he's also only just 21 years old, so he will come along.
Batting 264 is not terrible.
Yeah, definitely on this team, you know, it's definitely above average. But then, you know, guys like Imanari, who was in there for a while, he was awful. Yota Arai has been pretty awful.
That's his Umeno brothers tearing the place up.
Pardon me?
The other Arai brothers tearing this place up this year.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. I mean, it's not even funny. There's 7 years separating the two in age. And the elder statesman has been absolutely taking his brother to town as far as showing him how to play the game. Yeah. He didn't work out for us Tigers. Umeno has been absolutely atrocious. He's been probably one of the biggest disappointments on the team this year. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a kid that we have seen grow in his first couple of years, and then in this third year, he has just, you know, absolutely taken
a 133.
Dive. Yeah, no home runs. One of my buddies, actually Jimbo from the Fantasy League, calls him the rally stopper because it seems like every time we get a chance, you know, and he's the number eight hitter or whatever, it's up to him to get it done because otherwise it goes to the pitcher and he has not gotten it done. So,
10 one of hits the all year.
Yeah, 10, that's it? Oh my gosh, that's terrible. One of the more pleasant surprises, I would say, is Taichi Okazaki, who was doing, you know, reasonably well for a guy that didn't get regular playing time in his first 12 years as a pro. Unfortunately, we have not made this official on H10 yet, but he actually broke a bone in his hand and he underwent surgery during the All-Star break. So he may not be back in 2016.
Wow.
Oh, that's really too bad. But obviously that means that at catcher, we're going to have to count on Umeno a little bit more and then Haraguchi. Mm-hmm. And then who knows? I mean, do we call up Sakamoto? Do we call up Tsuruoka and give the old man a chance because he's good at calling games? Or
yeah,
I don't know. All right. Yeah. As far as pinch hitting goes, I feel like our best guy as pinch hitter has been Cano.
Yeah, agreed.
But I also feel like Cano.
But
has
where's
not
he been
used
recently, though?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, there was that one game against the Giants where we finally got a rally going in the ninth inning. We had runners on first and second, and we brought in Hayata Ito instead of Cano. I just did not understand that, and so I don't know if Cano is hurt or if the coaches don't like the way he's swinging the bat lately or what.
Right.
But, you know, we definitely need somebody. We need somebody in that pinch-hitting role where the other team goes, okay, we got to be careful now. Or,
he's had
you know
three
what I mean?
At-bats like, in July and has one hit, so he's 1-for-3.
So that's it as far as the hitters go. My C-minus was pretty generous. I would lean closer to a D maybe with that and hope they can pick things up. Yeah, because if C means average, we're definitely well below average in so many categories. All right, let's look at fielding now, because this is another key component, and I feel like it's one that we definitely need to address. So looking at the infield first, obviously, you know, most of the season we've had Gomez at first base. We've had Toditani at shortstop every game of every, every inning of every game of every, you know.
Last 5 years.
For the past, you know, yeah, exactly. And then at second and third, we've had kind of a mixed bag. So at third base, we've had Hojo a lot lately, but we also had Haig there at the start of the year. We've had Diota Arai for a couple games, and we had Imanari for maybe about maybe 10 games or so, starting at third, that is. And then at second base, we've had Hojo a little bit, but then we've mostly had Nishioka, and occasionally we've had Yamato there as well. So what do you say about the infield as far as their fielding skills go?
Yeah, I gave him a C here. I think that, you know, Toditani's pulling that down. We've seen some moments of brilliance in the younger guys playing the other bases. Yeah. So, you know, I've seen a couple good plays by Gomez as well at first. So, so I really think that the fielding is decent in the infield other than error-prone captain Toditani. So...
yeah, he's got 10 errors, and that doesn't count the ones that the scorekeeper said.
Right. Oh, we'll call he's got that twice hit. What anybody else has.
We'll give him a break here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, actually, I've only given an overall fielding grade, and I gave them a D for the whole team. And I think lately the infield has been a lot more solid than it was, say, in May and the start of June, where it just felt like they were giving away games, and Toditani was part of that for sure.
Yeah.
But then there was those couple of infield pop-ups where nobody caught the ball.
That's true.
There was the one that magically popped out of Toditani's glove. you know, all these games that we lost, we literally lost the games on poor fielding.
Right.
So I can't give them a C for the work that they did there. But I would say, yeah, like, I mean, we got, when we bring Yamato in at second, we bring Imanari in at third. It's a big sacrifice to our hitting attack, but those guys are definitely, you know, second to none at those positions. And maybe we need them there at least to an extent to compensate for Toritani's poor range.
Yeah.
But in Toritani's defense, he's actually been a little bit more consistent lately. I feel like, he had a good chunk of errors there for a while. And I think lately it's kind of settled down a little bit.
Maybe that's just because we have had less baseball in the last week.
That might be it. The memory is playing tricks on me here. He hasn't had an error all week. All right. Let's look at the outfield then. So in the outfield, we have had Fukudome as our main guy in right, although he was hurt for a while, so we had some replacements there. In left field, we've mostly had Takayama. And then the other guys that have played kind of sparsely have been Yokota at the start of the year. Nakatani's been in there a bit. Hayata Ito has been in there. We've even thrown Ryota Arai in left field a couple times. We even put Tsuyoshi Nishioka in at center for one game in the middle of June. So it's been really interesting the way that they've positioned the outfielders. But I don't know. What do you think, Joe? How's the fielding been out there?
I'd say the same as the infield. Moments of utter devastation and moments of brilliance. So I'd say middle of the road. I don't think it's, you know, a team deserving of first place, you know, because of our outfield, but I don't see it's, you know, necessarily putting us in last place. So, you know, it's just been kind of in the middle.
Yeah, I would say so too. Fukudome's been solid as usual. I mean, he's not as fast to get to the balls as he used to be. But teams are starting to take the chance and running on him a little bit more, but he's definitely just, you know, fundamentally solid. And nothing more to say about that. Guys like Nakatani has had some good moments, some really good moments. And then, that one moment that, again, this one literally lost us the game was when he had the collision with Shunsuke in left center. So the outfield is definitely prone to their, you know, high school-esque plays as well. And it's been really tough to watch. Yokota, I think, really needs to work on his fielding if he wants to get solid playing time, even if his bat improves. His fielding was pretty atrocious. And then Takayama, I don't think is ever really known for his fielding, but I hope he can pick it up a bit as well, because he's definitely made some pretty boneheaded plays. And that's been a little bit rough. I remember a couple of them got past him and, you know, trickled to the wall, and then a couple, you know, very catchable balls that he missed, stuff like that. So nothing great there, I would say, outside of right field, and that right fielder won't be around for too much longer, I don't think.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe squeeze one more year out of him, and then I think that's probably it.
I would say so. You know,
then he'll be our pinch hitter for next, and one more year maybe, and that's it.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at the catchers last and not least for sure. So at the catcher position, the time has been split, not even evenly, but certainly it has been split between Haraguchi, Umeno, and Okazaki. And then I think Shimizu got one start.
Right.
And that might be it. But we're looking here at their defensive ability and their ability to call the game. So what do you think so far?
I think I gave him a B here. You know, you got Haraguchi, who came up and is really kind of, aside from his bat, he's been able to, start to learn. I think, you got to give him the time. You got to give him the chance. To see what it's like, being in there during the grind. I don't know, maybe a B is too generous. I don't know. What was yours?
I would say I'm giving them a low C, and it's mostly for the way that they call the game. I definitely feel like we've been leaning a lot on Okazaki lately, because I feel like he maybe calls the game a little bit better than Haraguchi and Umeno. All I've heard from other fans and other, people that watch the game and baseball analysts is that Umeno just does not know how to call the game properly for his pitchers. He's in his third year. So I hope that part of his game really starts to develop soon. I think Haraguchi is really learning on the fly. I don't think that we can expect much more from him. So he's doing the best that he can. And then I really don't know where else we can go though, because I don't know what else, you know, what are the options we have, you know, where we want someone that can hit, but at the same time, we want someone that's going to be able to get the best out of our pitchers.
Yeah.
And I something don't I think just, that we have that catcher.
Yeah. Something I just thought of, like, have you ever seen any import catchers that do well at all in Japan, or do they even bring imports over for catcher?
I haven't even seen a single import catcher, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Because you'd think that would be, you know, that'd be kind of a, you know, the maybe it's such a different game, you know, that it'd be tough for them to come over. But I think you could kill a couple birds with one stone, get a decent bat, because, you know, you can get a catcher that can that hit, you know, decently in the U.S. in the minors. And I think you could actually bring him over and do the team pretty well. But, you know, I guess learning the pitchers is pretty tough.
It'd be
especially with
the
culture difference. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously it takes a lot. I think a lot of people, especially the semi-casual fans of baseball,
right,
really underestimate the value of a good catcher. He's got to be good with the pitchers. He's got to know the opponent's team's batters and their tendencies.
Yeah.
And then he's got to have a great memory of like, okay, well, we got this guy out swinging on this pitch last time. You know, mm-hmm. can we get it again? Or is he the type of batter that's going to be able to learn from his mistake and crush the next one? So it's a really demanding position mentally and physically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I want to cut our guys some slack, especially the two young guys, Haraguchi and Umeno. Hopefully they will develop into solid tandem for us in the future.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think that, you know, I read somewhere that it's 10 years, you know, in a catcher's career before they really blossom is mm-hmm. what their average, like, you know, peak age is for a catcher, you know, his number of years in the league. So I think that, you know, we've got time on these guys' clock, but you know, we just don't have a lot of veteran leadership there in that position.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've got Tsuruoka, who's got the veteran leadership, but he doesn't know the team super well. But then the other thing with him is just, he's the king of the pass ball. I mean, it just seems like too many pitches get past him, too easily, but mm-hmm. you know, he calls a good game. I mean, he really did a good job with Fujinami last year. And even with, I think with Nomi, I think they switched him in with Nomi after Umeno didn't do very well with Nomi. And so maybe it's time to call him up, especially in light of Okazaki's injury. You know, get a veteran catcher in here that can really help us, you know, clamp down on the opponents a little bit more.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump quickly into coaches. But I know we have gone super overtime here, but I really want to talk a bit about management and coaching because I think it's a hot issue. How is Kanemoto doing as a manager? How are the coaches doing? Because a lot of these guys are new to the Tigers or new as coaches. What kind of grade do you give management and coaching?
I have a C- here.
Okay.
As far as some of the other coaches, I really can't see how much they're impacting our team, you know, but Kanemoto's decisions of, you know, the solid 2.5 months of not having one lineup the same was a little interesting. Some recent picks, you know, for pinch hitters have been interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, the punishment of Fujinami to go 161 on the pitch count. So I would say if you asked me this a month ago, I probably would have given him a better ranking, but you know, this last month has been interesting.
It definitely feels like the number of question marks are increasing.
Right.
Why are you doing this? What's with this call? You know, when are you going to call this guy up or mm-hmm. whatever? And I hope that there is a method to this madness that we're seeing. I mean, there's a reason that we've developed this new corner on the show called Wacky Tomowaki, right? So, let's see how he does. But I kind of feel like a lot of his decisions and maybe even his connections with the players and so on, it's changed. And man, like even his countenance on the bench.
Absolutely.
You know, go back to the end of March and the start of April, and I mean, the atmosphere with this team was electric. The fans were super excited. The team looked like they were loving every moment of baseball. And lately, man, it's almost like darker than the Wada cloud. So I hope that, you know, somehow this break can help refresh Kanemoto and clear his mind a little bit. And, you know, I hope that he sticks with a consistent lineup. I understand how tough that is because he does want to build up this team. Here's the theory that I've been kind of tinkering with a little bit lately, that, you know, a player reaches his prime sometime in his mid to late 20s, I would say, like where maybe his peak lasts from, say, age 25 until 30, something like that.
Right.
Yeah, just in general. I mean, obviously, it depends on number of games played. It depends on whether or not they played college ball, et cetera, and natural ability. But, you know, you look at our team right now, and most of our guys are either past that prime or they haven't not yet entered that prime. Yeah. And one of the things that Kanemoto is trying to do, even with the guys that are, say, 25 or older, like guys like Hayata Ito and a couple of the other guys, they haven't had the playing time. They don't have the experience. So you can't call a guy in his prime if he's got zero games of playing experience under his belt. So Kanemoto's trying to give all these guys, you know, playing time, in-game situations, a chance to fail, a chance to learn from mistakes in order for them to reach that prime. You know, and once they reach that prime and they're physically at their peak and they're mentally at their peak and they've got, you know, a sense of the game better than they did when they were young, you know, fresh out of university guys, it's tough to do that when you've got a whole lineup of guys that are in that same boat.
Yeah, you know, it's going to take a lot of lining up at the right exact time.
Yeah, exactly. And so a lot of these teams, like you look at the Carp and, you know, they've got some guys that are in their prime. They've got a couple guys that are past their prime but are still performing. But then, you know, I look at them and I say, okay, they're building up Seiya Suzuki and he's, you know, totally thriving. They're building up Kosuke Tanaka, who's still a pretty young guy. But outside of that, they're mostly a pretty solid lineup of guys in their prime or you know, just leaving their prime or whatever. And so things have kind of lined up nicely for them, but it might be a couple of years before Hojo is in his prime and Itayama and Takayama and Yokota and Yokawa and Nakatani and, you know, the list goes on and on, you know. So yeah. I it's definitely a hard job that Kanemoto's got. And so as much as I'd love to give him an F for how crazy he's been lately or whatever, I can't do it because he's right. He is doing his absolute best, and he's trying so hard to develop these guys that have been ignored for so many years.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, the team he has is just, you know, you got to look at the team he was given, so.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I do expect and I do hope that the Tigers can win, you know, more often than they lose from now till the end of the season, but I also don't expect a miracle comeback. I just want Kanemoto to continue to develop these players, but I hope that it can be done with a little bit more of a positive atmosphere than I've seen lately. Mm-hmm. So that would be his big downfall in my eyes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely seen a change in his attitude towards the game in the last month.
Stressful job, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they can. Chicky Dad, H10 prediction. See the future. Yes, they can. Chicky Dad, H10 prediction. All right. Okay, let's look now at the upcoming week and then the remainder of the season before we end off here. So this coming week, actually today, and for us it's 8 hours from now, the Giants are coming to town and playing against our Tigers for three. So we play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week, and then we get Thursday off, and then we go into Hiroshima for three on the weekend. And I'm guessing that we're starting with Messenger today. And,
I believe so.
Yeah. And they are going with actually Miles Michaelis, who was definitely our kryptonite last year. So anyways, what do you think is going to happen this week, Joe, with the Tigers?
I am going to call 3-3 this week. And I'm actually probably going to go with one against the Giants and two against the Carp. I really want to see us come up and have a big, solid time against the Carp and show them that they're not going to walk away with this thing just yet.
Yeah. I like your boldness of that prediction. Just for the record, the Carp have beaten us 7 straight right now. So for us to go 2-1 against them would be an amazing feat. Actually, I am going to say we go 3-3 this week as well, but I'm going opposite. 2 against the Giants, 1 against the Carp. It's kind of a
probably more
standard,
likely, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a standard guess, so we'll see. I'm guessing, though, that we're probably going to bring Fujinami in on the third game against the Giants, possibly. So could be Messenger and Fujinami. So we'll take two out of them, and then hopefully we can steal one from the Carp. But if we got Uesada in the back end of that, oh, look out.
Yeah, could be bad.
Yeah. So how about in the 56 games remaining, what are your expectations? How many wins do you think we can coax out of this team?
You know, I'd like to see us end at 30-24, so we'll give us, you know, 6 more wins than losses in the last half, just enough to get us maybe not into a winning season, but, you know, at least be right on the borderline, I think. And that could get us, you know, into third or fourth place, I think.
Okay, so are you calling a couple more ties in here, or like 30-24-2, or was it just a math miscalculation? Or?
Sorry.
Come on, no, accountant Joe.
You know, I just think that, I would say in the last the last half of the last 56 games that we'll finish six games above 500.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Oh man, I would love to see that. I actually don't think we will quite reach that, but I think that we are going to finish above 500 in this last portion of the schedule. I'm going to go two games above 500 the rest of the way. And it may squeak us into that third place spot, but it may not. But I don't think we're going to finish last.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think that our pitching is too good, honestly. Yeah. Like, at least our starting pitching. And especially if we can get some of our key players back, Iwata, Sayuchi, Fukuhara, if they can come back and contribute, you know, we've got good enough pitching to be able to at least make a run for a playoff spot.
Yep.
So, at the end of the year, we will revisit those predictions. In the meantime, everybody out there, thank you for sticking with us for this long report, especially now that the baseball week has started. You've probably got other things to do, like watch games, but thank you for joining, and we look forward to hearing from you. Again, as always, you know, join us on the Facebook page. We've got Hanshin Tigers English News page. We've got the Hanshin Tigers Game Day group. We have got Twitter at the Hanshin Tiger. And then you can always send us your predictions. You can send us your report cards for the team by email if you want, or you can send it to us on the Facebook. The email address is podcast@thehunchingtigers.com. Joe, it's been fun to talk with you this week. I hope you have a good one.
Been good.
All right. See you again in 7 days, everyone.
All right.
ありがとうって今は言わせて